This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
When a person discovers God to be the answer for troubles in his or her own life, that person tells others that God is the answer for their troubles too. That's what we do. And that's what Moses is exemplifying here. He says, this is what I found, and I got to tell y'all. And I want you to know that this is true for each one of you individually.
Now here's Rich to introduce the second part of a message titled, Worship Through Plea.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 is such a strengthening psalm for our faith, especially when we feel like we're underneath spiritual attack. You know, Satan, he's active. He's like a lion that prowls, seeking someone to devour. And oftentimes his strength and the ferocity of his assault is so great, we feel overwhelmed. And left to our own strength, we are. But Psalm 91 reminds us that we're never alone. In the midst of the worst battles, in the midst of the most difficult emotional and spiritual difficulties, our God is with us. And we need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. Why? Because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We are with him, and he is with us. He is our refuge, our fortress. Well, let's learn more about him together and about how we are protected. God bless you.
Two metaphors he uses, you see them right there in verse 2. They're easy to identify. He says, first, my refuge, my refuge. So when a little chipmunk is in danger, what does it do? It races into its hole. It finds refuge. When a bird is in danger, it flies high up into the thickest of trees. That's a refuge. They're finding quickly a refuge. And what the psalmist is saying is that when I find myself in trouble, I hide myself in God. I fly up to the Lord. He is my safe space. He's my safe space. You know, again, I don't know what kinds of dangers confront your life this morning. But I do know that if you are in Christ through faith in him, I know that you have a refuge that's able to keep you safe. A refuge that's accessible to you, that you can run into and find safety. You know, when I was a little boy, I'd pester my older brothers. I know you can't believe that I would do that. I kind of got a kick as a little kid, disrupting their peace through teasing them. And occasionally I'd push them over the edge. And they'd get really, really angry at me, and they were bigger than me, and they would chase after me. And I knew that if they caught me, I would be really, really, really in painful trouble. And so what did I do? Well, I ran, and I didn't just run anywhere because they're faster than me too. I ran to Mom. Okay. Mom! It doesn't matter how much I deserved it. She's still a refuge. She still wouldn't let them do what they wanted to do to me at that moment. I knew that. Now, she might tell me what I needed to do and correct me, but she was safe. She was secure. And if I could reach her before they reached me, then I knew that nothing was going to harm me. Nothing would harm me. She was absolutely a refuge. Do we run like that to God when we're in trouble? He also says he's my fortress. A city in Old Testament was safe if its walls were strong enough and high enough to keep the enemy out. That's the picture. And he's saying God is our fortress. I love Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Outside the tower are dangers that will destroy us, will hurt us, will rob us, will take our life. But you get in that tower and no enemy can come through those gates. No enemy can reach you. So the first action, let's talk to God in pledge. The second action that the psalm encourages us is to trust in God for protection now. So again, he changes the pronoun from I to you. And now he's offering individual counsel for what others who are reading the psalm should do when they encounter trouble. He says in verse 3, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." When a person discovers God to be the answer for troubles in his or her own life, that person tells others that God is the answer for their troubles too. That's what we do. And that's what Moses is exemplifying here. He says, "This is what I found, and I got to tell y'all. And I want you to know that this is true for each one of you individually." You know, God, he's worthy of our witness. It's important for us not just to receive God as our safety, as our refuge, as our fortress, but it's really important for us to share that good news. We would be totally unloving if we saw people around us in trouble and didn't tell them about Christ. That's the most unloving thing to do. Does anybody have anyone in their workplace, anyone in their family, anyone in their neighborhood who experiences trouble? Anybody? Yeah, we all do, don't you? Would we be the kind of people who listen to their troubles and we know that there's a refuge, we know there's a fortress, but we don't tell them about it? Are we that kind of people? That's a huge question. We must not be that kind of people, not if we care about them. There is a refuge. Now, they might refuse the refuge. They might refuse the fortress. But at least, at the very least, like my friend did, who's been talking to this man and his wife for over a year, the moment he discovered she had cancer, which she's been fighting it for over a year, he began to press into them and continue to press into them, tell them, here's the refuge. And for more than a year, this couple didn't want to listen. They were still open to his friendship, open to his love. They didn't want to hear that. But now as things are getting really, really, really close, they're saying, oh, God's awakened them. And I thank God for my friend who had the boldness to be used of God to say, there's a very present help for you. There's a refuge. There's a fortress for you. May God increase that heart among his people. May God increase that heart among his people. You know, we do not need to fear any evil befalling us when God promises to deliver us. He says, the Lord will deliver you. He will deliver you. To promise from the snare of the fowler, from deadly pestilence, he will deliver you. The future is never scary for the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. It's always blessed. David's saying the same thing in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord's my shepherd. So that's personal. It's a relationship through faith. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll not lack anything. And David goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's he saying? Well, again, it's the sheep-shepherd metaphor. He's the sheep. God's the shepherd. And as a sheep, he knows that there's some places that are really scary and dangerous for sheep to be that he has to walk through in order to get to green pastures, in order to get to quiet waters. He's going to die in the wilderness if he doesn't walk through this little valley that takes him to the water, that takes him to the green pasture. He has to walk through. And as he walks through, this little sheep, you can imagine a little sheep walking through that valley to get to water, hears the growl of a wolf. Hears the footstep of a thief with a spear in his hand wanting some tasty lamb chops. And he knows they're around him, but he has to walk through the valley. Would that be scary to you to walk through that kind of valley if you were a sheep? It'd be scary to walk through as a man, knowing that there are people out there wanting to kill me, knowing that there are wolves out there that are hungry and wanting to attack me at any moment. But he says, you know what? Even when I walk, he says, it's going to happen. We're going to have to walk through these valleys. They're filled with danger, where there are wolves and there are thieves. I don't fear any evil. Well, you're a sheep. You can't protect yourself from a wolf. You can't protect yourself from a hunter. I got the shepherd. And when the shepherd's right beside me, I can walk through. I don't fear any evil that this valley might bring upon me. Because his rod and his staff, that wolf comes, bam! Shepherd's strong enough, the shepherd's able enough, and that wolf will scatter when he gets struck by that shepherd's rod. The thief, bam, over the head, gone. You're not going to come back here and take this sheep. I don't fear any evil. There's dangers all around, but I'm just walking through this place And because the shepherd is with me, I don't have any fear. The Lord's going to deliver us. He's going to bring us through that dark valley. That's why he says, surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because the shepherd. And then when this life comes to an end, and it will, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my future. Remember Acts 5, when Peter and John were delivered supernaturally out of prison from execution? Remember that story? You remember, you read two chapters forward and you see Stephen getting stoned to death? You know, the promise doesn't promise that it's always going to work, the trouble is always going to work out the way we want it to. You know, if I were there, Stephen, my friend, I'd have wanted him to be delivered the way Peter and John were delivered, but that's not God's sovereign plan. So what good's the promise then if it doesn't work out the way we want it to work out? Let me ask you a question. You see, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. We fail to remember and cling to his promises, and we think that this passage says that life is always going to work out the way we want it to. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is experiencing more joy today, Peter or Stephen? Who do you think? I think they're both experiencing the same amount of joy. Peter's up in heaven. Man, you remember that time when God reached down and opened up those gates? And Stephen's up. You remember that day when there's people were gnashing their teeth at me because I was exalting Jesus Christ, and they took stones and they began to pour down rocks upon my head, and I looked up and I saw from earth, I saw heaven open up, and I saw the Son of Man standing. You remember that? That was awesome. Let me ask you, did the Lord deliver them both? And I tell you, yes, yes. They need fear nothing about the future, nothing about the future. The point is that God will deliver us. The truth is that peace is the birthright of every believer. Let's grab hold of it. Verse 4 through 6, he will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings, you will find wet refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. The word buckler just means a little smaller shield. It'll protect against arrows. You won't fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Beloved, if we're not experiencing peace, the answer to that is not found inside of ourselves. It's not changing our circumstances. The answer to that is to look upward to the Lord. And that's what the psalmist does. He says, look up and see God as that all-sufficient God. When Jesus was in the boat during that huge storm, the disciples, they're afraid of the storm. They're looking at the storm. They're looking over Jesus. He's asleep. Doesn't he care about us? And they finally call out to him. Finally call out to him. They should have called out to him from the beginning. They finally, don't you care about us? Jesus rose. Peace be still. And that storm was calm. They looked at him, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. To overcome fear, feed your faith in Christ. That's it. Feed your faith by reminding yourself who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Look at verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. That's it again. There it is. Not just a God who you believe in for salvation, but the Lord is your dwelling place, constant companion, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. This God's same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what God's people do. They just look up and they say, God, I want to need a clear vision of you. If I have a clear vision of you, then I will find peace. I had a friend who understands this principle of going through some troubles. And he said, Rich, pray for me in these troubles. And he says, pray that I would respond now so that when God does deliver me, I won't be embarrassed by how I was responding when I was going through this. I love that. It's a great thought, isn't it? He doesn't want just God to deliver him. He wants right now to experience God in such a way that after he's through it, he says, I know God's going to deliver me from this trouble. I know he will. I just don't want to look back and say, you idiot. You know, why didn't you believe then? Why didn't you trust God then? Why didn't you glorify God then in that moment? He has a heart of worship, and that's what drives this whole psalm. It's heart that says, God, I want to worship you. Troubles are opportunities to worship. Troubles are opportunities to look up in believing faith, trusting faith, saying, God, you are my refuge. You are my deliverer. Last action. Turn your hearts to God's promise. I want to read one other thing, part of that last verse, though. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. It's interesting because this is such a great psalm. So many psalms are quoted in the New Testament. This psalm is quoted in the New Testament. Did you know that? It's quoted by Satan. So believers don't quote this psalm. That's not because it's a bad psalm. It's just it's not quoted in the New Testament. Satan quotes the psalm in the New Testament. Satan quotes it when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. And he takes this very verse to Jesus. And he says, if you're a son of God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle of the temple, for it's written. Quotes Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Do you know that Satan memorizes scripture and he uses it? So be careful. But almost always he twists the meaning of the verse or he leaves out portions of the verse, and that's what he did here. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you. That's where Satan stops. But he doesn't say, in all your ways. See, in all your ways is a reference to all the ways of the Lord. This is not a carte blanche, hey, you can just go and be careless with your life, because who cares? No, if you're walking in the ways of the Lord, if you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, this is going to be true for you. And that's what Satan left out. Hey, you can just throw yourself off because God's going to protect you. Jesus said, nope, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He answered wrong scripture or twisted scripture with truth, true scripture. And so it's really important for us, one, to know this amazing protection of angelic messengers, servants of God, over our lives is true. Not just one angel, but many angels. I don't know what would happen to us if we could see the invisible realm. I think we'd just be blown away. But by faith, we say, I know there are angels all over this room. I know there are demons in this place. And I know that God sent helpers, and I'm often protected. I know every one of us are protected by these angels. That's what he says, that they are interact in very specific ways in our lives, which is remarkable. But the same way, same time, we also know Satan wants us to think of this carelessly. And Jesus' point is, no, it's when we're walking in the ways of the Lord, then that we can trust protection. Also, Satan doesn't quote verse 13. Did you notice that? There's good reason. You will tread on the lion, on the adder, the young lion, the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Do you know what Satan's called in the New Testament? He's called a lion seeking to devour. He's called a snake. Satan's not a quote that verse. He knows what that means. Let's make sure we add these verse 13 into this as well, because when Satan comes after us, angels are going to be there to help us, and Satan ultimately will be crushed by Christ. Last, let's turn your heart to God's promises, verses 14 through 16. Because he holds fast to me in love. Now, God is speaking now, so God, this psalm brings God into the drama. Because he, this one who dwells in the Lord and trusts in the Lord, holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. In other words, this person has secured himself to me. He's mine. I will hold him fast. I'll cling to him as he clings to me in faith. God promises to deliver every person who clings to him and to his promises. And here's the truth. We live on God's promises, not on his explanations. You know, oftentimes when we're in trouble, we're asking God for an explanation. That's not going to feed us. It's not going to strengthen us. We live on God's promises, not on his explanations. That's why he gives us promises and not explanations. Finally, verse 15, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91 is God's 911, reminding us how to overcome in times of trouble. So our young family, many years ago, was having a great day on the beach at Maranatha on Lake Michigan. And suddenly, out in the distance, the sun hid behind some clouds. The wind began to blow inland. Soon, the clouds that started kind of gray became dark and ominous. The kids were having so much fun on the beach, and there was no clouds right over the top of us. We decided to stay longer. Everyone else was leaving the beach. They felt the wind begin to blow in this storm. And the storm gathered much more quickly than we had anticipated, and we realized we're not going to make it back about a quarter mile back up to our room. So we're just going to have to ride out the storm. And we went underneath this little deck of the pool, and we crawled back as far as we could as the storm, and it was an unbelievable storm. Lightning flashing off and on the lake, right at lake edge. It's just a couple hundred yards ahead of us. The rain just pounding almost sideways, blowing in and around us. We still, though, found shelter underneath this little canopy. And the harder the wind blew, the further back we got, and the more we huddled closer into it and into each other. None of us dared to say, "Woo," and start just running out as the lightning flashed, the winds blew, the rain was so heavy. No, the more that trouble came, the more deep we found shelter, entering deeper and deeper. And that's the response that Psalm 91 calls us to have in times of trouble. Are there any troubles that you're experiencing right now? I want you to know the Lord himself is your refuge. Move deeper and deeper into him. And then you will experience the fullness of his security. You will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What an experience this is for us. God promises it. We know it's true.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
Thank you for listening in to Knowing Christ. As a listener, you're important to us. We pray for you. We pray that God would use the word that is proclaimed through this radio ministry to minister to your soul. Perhaps as you're listening to this message today from Psalm 91, you realize, I'm experiencing extreme spiritual attack. Well, first I want to invite you to send in any prayer request, any spiritual request where you describe some spiritual attack that you are experiencing. We would love to intercede for you. We believe that God listens to the prayers. And we may not have met you, but we want you to know that we want to stand with you before the throne of God, asking God to grant you grace and wisdom and help as you're underneath extreme spiritual attack. And so won't you please let us intercede for you by sharing with us your specific struggle. We also encourage you to do the same with your own local church. Oftentimes we struggle alone in these assaults from the evil one. God's given you a church, and so we want to encourage you, reach out to them. You'll be blessed as you do.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org, that's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.